Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast.
So I want to start off today by solving a bit of a mystery for some of you. And I remember when I was younger, I never really understood why the Jews did the things that they did, why they had these purification rituals, why they had some food they could eat and other food that they couldn't eat, what would be considered clean and what would be considered unclean, and what was the philosophy behind this, like why did they do that? Well, it was only later that I started noticing, actually after reading different ancient histories and practices, that it wasn't something entirely unique to the Jewish people. The Egyptians, for example, also had purity laws. They also had things that they could do and not do. Same with the Greeks and the Mesopotamians. It was something that was somewhat normal in that culture at that time. So let me explain why they did that and what it meant. It goes back, actually, to the stories of creation in the ancient world, but in particular, we're talking about the story of creation in the Jewish world, that we had God, he takes the chaos and makes order out of it. And then after he makes order out of it, now we have a world that human beings could live in. And so this was a way that God arranged things so that we could survive and we could thrive in the world. But we also know that because sin entered into the world, it disrupted God's original intention. And from that point, the world was not quite like it should be. Now, in addition to this, God gave the Israelites, Israel, the sacred land, and so that land was to be preserved and was to remain sacred. And so these different rituals and laws were to help that to come about. And in addition, since the Israelites were also the chosen people, a people set apart, they had to live in a way that conformed to God's original intention. And so that means they have to live in a way that conforms to the world as God intended it to be. So that means that they had to live within that original harmony, that original order that overcame the chaos in God's original creation. And there were these different rituals that they did, and purification rituals, because that was supposed to keep the contamination of sin and what is bad and what is impure from entering into the Holy Land and especially into the temple area. So that's why they had those sacrifices, and that's why they had these cleansing rituals. That's also why they had things that were considered clean and unclean, because the clean would conform more to the ordered world that God created. The unclean would be the corrupted world that came about as a consequence of sin. All right, now this is not entirely normal for us in our own 21st century world, but we have remnants of it as well, because we want to live within an ordered world. We have, for example, certain things that we do that demonstrate that. For example, people in their email and in their notifications, they'll want to have like zero notifications or unread emails and things to have a certain order in those types of areas. Even when it comes to language, something we don't often think about, but the whole politically correct language thing is an artificial thing that's kind of imposed upon us because we have to have purity in language. You know, there are other things that are similar to this that we do in our culture. We just don't think about it. And in a similar way, the ancient Jews, they would not have thought about these different taboos that they had and the things that they had to do to be able to live with that in a certain way. It would have been something, it would have been second nature. So in the midst of this, you've got the chosen people trying to live within God's original intention, following the law, and they're focusing on these external observances, but they're not so focused on the internal and moral law. And so this is what Jesus is calling out. He's trying to get them to understand that, yes, you can do those external observances and follow the taboos of the culture and then also follow the additional laws that are supposed to, you know, separate you and keep you as the chosen people and a holy people in God's sight, but don't lose sight of the more important moral law. And this is part of Jesus' teaching. Now, notice the words he uses and the different sins that he's talking about, because he's not talking about the sins of a lack of purification of washing hands, but he's saying evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. Now, all of those sins are not sins that get imposed from without, from outside. They are sins that tend to be chosen from the inside, and then after the thought, and then after the fantasy, and then after the acting on it, it becomes something that began inside of us and got demonstrated from that we had in our hearts. And so what Jesus is basically saying is that if we have our heart and our mind in the right place, if our heart and our mind are toward the things of God and to God, then the external impurities and the external forces that we find ourselves in and the bad in the world has no power over us. Now, to give you an example of this, remember when Jesus healed the leper? Now, in Jesus' day, if you touch a leper, you become impure. That was the logic of the time. And when Jesus touches the leper, not only does he not become impure, but he heals the leper. So it shows that because Jesus is the Son of God and because of the power that he has as the Son of God, that he is able to actually heal rather than be contaminated. And so in a similar way, he's trying to get us, God's people, to understand that if our hearts and minds are in the right place, then we don't need to live in fear of what may exist outside of ourselves, because we can have our hearts and minds to a place that, like Jesus, we are not overcome by evil, we are not overcome by things that are external to us. Now, when I was in seminary, there was a priest, Father Ray Carey, and he was teaching pastoral psychology. And one of the things that he taught is he said that we should live according to an internal locus of control. And locus from the Latin, which means center. And what he's meaning is that what we do and why we do it should be something that comes from within, not something that is imposed from without, from outside of us. To help you understand that, when we're kids, our parents tell us things that we do and that we don't do. So our parents will say things like, you got to clean your room, you've got to eat, you've got to shower, you've got to exercise, study, and they'll tell us these things. And as a kid, we don't necessarily want to hear it, but we do it because we have to. It's part of being a good kid. We listen to our parents and we do what they tell us, but we may not want to. Now, hopefully somewhere along the line, when we grow up, we start owning these sort of things. And we start noticing that, oh, actually it is a good thing for us to live in the way that our parents tell us. And then we just kind of own that. Well, in a similar way, when it comes to following the commandments, when it comes to our living the faith, that we know there are laws, we know there are moral teachings, and those come to us from our God, and he gives that to help us. So, for example, we have the Ten Commandments, we have the church's moral law, we have the Beatitudes, we've got the gospel and Jesus' teaching, we have the catechism, which helps us to have an understanding of how we're supposed to live and why. So it's good for us to be well-formed and to spend time learning what the church says and what Jesus said, so we're not going to be overly influenced by the things around us. But at the same time, hopefully we get to the point where we do it not just because we have to, but it's something that we do because it becomes second nature. It becomes part of who we are. And it's because our minds and our hearts are expressing the love that we have of God and his ways. So let me give you another example of this. When I was a new priest, I was shopping, and a parishioner was also in the store. And when the parishioner was in the store and saw me shopping, I think that she thought that for some reason I don't have to eat or cook, you know, so this was kind of surprising to her. But then later she said, you know, I'm sorry, Father, you had to go through that. And I was like, it's not a big deal. I grew up in a grocery store. You know, my parents had a business. I know how to shop and I know how to cook. And she goes, no, I'm not talking about that. But when you were in the checkout line, that there are all those magazines next to you. I didn't even notice the magazines, right? And so anyway, I'm like, what magazines? You know, now apparently Jennifer Aniston had just divorced Brad Pitt at the time. So there was a big magazine, an article with a picture of her on it. And apparently since she was separated from Brad Pitt, she was available again. So anyway, she's explaining this to me and I'm like, oh, well, if I'd have known, you know, because now I can just abandon everything, move down to Hollywood, and I got a chance, you know. It's like, you know, it's like it didn't even cross my mind. And, but anyway, I think that's maybe a little silly example, but we don't have to be controlled by the things around us. Like many saints have talked about this, there is a way for us to live in the world without living of the world. You know, that we do live in the world, and there is a lot of corruption, there's a lot of evil, there's a lot of false teaching, and we have to be centered in what is true and what is good out of the love of God and His way. And once we have that, we're rooted in something greater than the changing that we have in the world around us and the immorality that we might see around us, that we're not just constant victims of whatever might come our way, as if we have no free will or we have no control. Like Father Ray Carey was talking about, if we have that internal locus of control, there's a way for us to navigate in this world and then do it in a way we're not going to be overcome by the things we might see around us. And it's much more than external observance. It's something that starts with our conversion, with our heart. And it's really also kind of living within the Beatitudes that Jesus gave us. So the sixth Beatitude says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Pure of heart. It's unified in what is pure in Christ. And so if that's the case, we will see God because He's going to be all around us. Our minds and our hearts are directed toward Him, and we dwell on that. Then, of course, God gives us those gifts of the Holy Spirit that we received in baptism and in confirmation. That helps us to be able to live the gospel. So as Jeremiah and as Ezekiel talk about, the law of God is placed in our hearts, and it helps us to be able to live in a way that we may not need all the 613 laws in more external observances that are something that are imposed on us, but rather we are living the law of God that's imposed on us, but we receive, accept, and live because of the love we have of God and the love that we have of His ways. And so maybe in this week we might just think about, what are some things that we do in this world that maybe show that we do want order in our lives and we do want purity in the things that we do? And then maybe take that second step and think, well, how can I allow that to be something that dwells in me through those gifts of the Spirit, through the law that God puts in our hearts, the new covenant? And how can I more fully live my life out of love for Him and out of love for His ways? So this truly does help us to live in the world, but not be of the world. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.